Well, this is our second to last week in our walk through the book of Psalms. Psalm 119 is a very, very, very long psalm. 176 verses long. So I hope you packed a lunch. Just kidding. That's a relief to some of you. Now, if we wanted to boil all of these 176 verses down, I think we could narrow them to a handful of verses, which we will cover today. The first of which is this, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. If you know one thing about me as a preacher, is that I love God's word. I love his work, but I love his word. And each week when we gather for worship, there should be no doubt that from the beginning of our worship service to the end of our worship service, that God's word is the focus of our service. And I've had people ask, well, let me rephrase that. I've had people complain, why do I have a liturgist read the scriptures when I'm going to read them again with my sermon? Well, there's a few reasons. Number one is simple learning. You can Google this if you want, but there are hundreds of websites that state repetition, repetition, repetition is the key to learning and understanding. But here is the most important reason. I believe the scriptures are very powerful on their own. The scriptures are one of the most direct ways that God speaks to us. The Bible is literally the word of God for the people of God. And his word alone, without any interpretation, speaks to us on so many levels. And God's word is important because it provides the foundation for all that we do as Christians. Psalm 119:89 says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your law endures to this day. For all things serve you. And from God's word, we learn about God and who God is. God's word is the foundation of our faith. And this is confirmed by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. God speaks to us through the words of the Bible. Through his words, he establishes order and boundaries. And this order and boundaries are designed to keep us in a healthy and right relationship with him. And from God's word, we learn about judgment, conviction, repentance, and grace. Psalm 119:26 says, I give an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. Reading God's word is powerful. And I can tell you that as a pastor, and Rod will probably confirm this, There is nothing more convicting than reading God's word and trying to write a sermon. Because God's word convicts. It is powerful. And the author of Hebrews writes this from Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And make no mistake, we will all give an account to God. When we read God's word, it reveals His holy nature, His perfection. And when we see His perfection and His holy nature, the scripture also reveals to us our sin, our imperfections. And perhaps this is why so many people avoid God's word. Because we don't always like what it has to say. You remember sometimes when you first left home and you would call mom up, but you were afraid to call her because you knew what she was going to lecture you on? Going to God's word is kind of sometimes feels that way. I don't want to read it because it's going to tell me about my sin. It's going to tell me where I went wrong. But here's the key. Not only does God's word reveal our sin, more importantly, it reveals God's unfailing love and His desire to give us grace. And our loving response to God's grace is to live out His word. Back to the psalm, verse 33. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Obey God's law with all my heart. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Anybody know somebody else who said something similar? Jesus taught us that the greatest expression of our love is our full obedience to God. From Matthew 22. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Not only does God's word keep us in a right relationship with God, God's word teaches us about relationships with each other. From Psalm 119:63. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees. And after telling us to love God with all of our heart, Jesus went on to say in Matthew 22, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So no matter what we do, it is God's word that leads us and guides us. And from you recognize this from the hymn we just sang, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. See, God's word needs to be our go-to for everything. It should be our primary source, not a secondary source. God's word is not to be used when it suits our desires and ignored when it does not. And I think this is something church people are very guilty of. We like spouting off verses that points out everybody else's mistakes, but we don't like to read ones that point out our mistakes. And we can be very vocal out in public. We can even say, we got to put the Ten Commandments back in our courthouses, we got to put the Ten Commandments back in our schools, and we got to put, and that sounds good, but how many of us are still out there committing adultery? How many of us are still out there committing sins of covetousness? If you're going to go by the Ten Commandments, you need to go by all ten. I mean, look at our TV shows. Look at the books we read. How many of you are guilty of reading salacious romance novels about affairs? How many of you watch soap operas in the middle of the day that are all about affairs and adultery, and we celebrate it? You can't choose one scripture to say your lifestyle's wrong, and then you go support and endorse lifestyles against God's word. It doesn't work that way. We got to live by God's word, not by what we feel, not by what we want, not by what we think, but only by God's word. Paul writes this in 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we must stick to God's word. God's word must be the center of our world. And we get caught up in all of the other things in life, and we do, and God's word becomes secondary. But God's word needs to become primary in our lives. We need to read it. We need to chew on it. We need to meditate on it. We need to fall in love with God's scripture. It needs to become sweeter than honey in our mouths. And we need to understand that God's ways are above our ways. God's ways are not our ways. And in the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God's Word is God. God's Word is Jesus Christ. And today, we get to share in God's Word. Today, we celebrate Holy Communion. Sometimes it's not easy to be in this world because our world wants to push us in this direction. The world wants to push us in that direction. The world wants to tell us what they want us to think about God. It is only through God's word who we know who God is. It is through the Holy Spirit that we know who God is. It's about living it out together that we learn about who God really is. The Word of God should be sacred to us. And the act of Holy Communion was instituted by Jesus Christ Himself, who commanded His disciples to do this as oft as you do in remembrance of me. And Jesus Christ, who Himself was the Word, on that holy night before He was to be arrested, He sat down with His disciples. And He said, take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. This is Christ, the Word of God. You have an opportunity today to not only hear the Word of God, but to experience the Word of God. The Word of God who came in human form to show us what a perfect will aligned with God was all about. You see, that was the difference between Jesus and you and me. Christ's will was always in line with God's will. I can tell you there's many times my will wants to go this way and God wants to go that way. And the purpose of sharing times like this of Holy Communion is to steer us back on the path. Right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's like a compass that reorientates us, puts us back on the right path with God. It is a true miracle of God that through His Holy Spirit, that when we take this bread and this juice, it becomes more than bread and juice. It becomes the Word of God for us. After He had broken the bread, and later in the supper, He gave thanks to God. He took this cup, and He said, "Drink from this, all of you, for the forgiveness of sins. This is the blood of the new covenant." God's was broken for us, so that we can be restored. God's word is not about just finding our own fault, but finding our need for God and our need to be restored to Him. And then today, through Holy Communion, you can be fed and restored by the Word of God to the person that God wants you to be. A person that loves God with all your heart, all your mind, and as Mark says, all of your strength. To receive God like warm, sweet honey. Something that is great and wonderful and powerful. And no matter how far you've gone, no matter where you've been, no matter what sin you have done, God's grace is greater than you. God's love is greater than you, and He wants to restore you here in this moment today. And as we pray together, we'll have a time for you to have silent confession. And I want you to truly chew on what God has done for us and the great gift of His holy word that is to reveal God to us so that we can receive His grace and be restored to a rightful relationship as a child of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, probably each of us have 4 or 5 copies of the Bible in our house. Any of us that have a computer or a smartphone have access to dozens and dozens of translations of Your Word. And yet, despite its accessibility, so many of us are lucky to hear Your word once a week. Lord, it should be a joy and not a chore to read Your word. And Lord, we've often failed to read it, to hear it, and to follow it. Lord, there are times when we are weak and we have fallen away from You. There are times we have stumbled. There are times when we have been willful in our acts. There are times when things have just happened and we knew they were wrong. And Lord, today we come to You in humble forgiveness. And we take this time now, Lord, to have silent confession before your Holy Spirit today. Lord, forgive us not only for what we have done, but for what we have left undone. Forgive us for being disobedient to your word. Forgive us for not loving and reading your word. Lift us up today. Let us see your real love and your desire to bring us grace. Lord, restore our hearts to be in love with your word, to follow you, to know you, to understand your precepts, and to live them out in a faithful way that we lead others to genuine faith and you through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, your word is always true. And the scriptures tell us that you are faithful and just and that you will forgive all those who genuinely come and confess and repent of their sins. Lord, may you receive our confession today. And through your forgiveness, bring us about change in our life, that we may turn away from sin and turn to your holy word. Lord, we ask your hand of blessing to be on these elements today. May through the power of your Holy Spirit, they become so much more than just what they are, that they become spiritual nourishment, that they become healing elements, elements of restoration, elements of love, elements of peace and comfort. And may they today be sweeter than honey on our lips. This we ask and pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.